This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:36 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And our next story is kind of a nice year ender because we want to know, if you were to choose a single word to sum up this year, what would it be? And we usually see these words getting announced by different dictionaries. There's a bit of a competition, but most people tend to focus on what the OED, or the Oxford English Dictionary, comes up with. And they're meant to capture, I guess, the whole essence of the year in a word or a phrase. But 2020 being the year that it is, will have no single word, at least not according to the OED.
So I was afraid we were going to get to this point where we just look back at the year. But for the first time ever, the Oxford English Dictionary has chosen not to name a word of the year. They've described 2020 as a year which cannot be neatly accommodated in one single word. And they've just listed, you know, a host of words that have been used that are all related to COVID-19. So a few that they've listed are coronavirus, lockdown, and for me, what's interesting is unmute and mute.
Oh my god!
you never expect it, but I think I've said unmute, you know, just so many times. I just can't even count how many times I've said it.
Unmute. You're on mute.
Yep.
There's just a lot of different variations on this, and I think it's interesting because the OED also goes on to acknowledge that. The OED also goes on to acknowledge that basically our language has expanded in different ways. So for example, the amount of times that we say here in the country, CMCO, work from home, like certain phrases are quite embedded, flatten the curve. These are things that are very embedded. But if you ask me whether I had ever thought of the curve of infection or the idea of flattening it prior to February or March 2020, it's not a phrase that I've used or heard in the past, or at least not commonly.
Yeah, and these are all scientific terms that have come into our daily lives, right? We all know what that is now without having, to look it up. So I think that the science part is interesting in how that's made its way into our lives.
Right. And on that note, actually, in Japan, so the OED might not have chosen a word, but the Japanese decided to. And it is actually sanmitsu, which is what, if you boil it down, it goes to the three C's. So crowded, and there we go again with this shift in language. Crowded and confined spaces and close conversations. So I don't know about everyone else, but for a time, you just couldn't go anywhere or pass an hour between 5 to 6 p.m. without hearing the phrase. So I think it's kind of fascinating that Japan has just decided to embrace it and go, yep, we're talking about SOPs.
Yeah, and so this word was picked by a publishing house called Jiyukoku Minsha. And like, you know, our health DG, it's just been frequently used by Tokyo's own governor, Yuriko Koike.
Yes, so we want to know from your experience or what you find yourself using the most this year, whether it's you're on mute or something hopefully more cheerful, let us know. What do you think is the word that has summed up 2020 for you? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187899899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Surinderpal Kaur, who is from the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Malaya. So that's coming your way right after this. Share your thoughts with us and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:42 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. We're talking about the word of the year because the Oxford English Dictionary has said 2020 cannot be summed up in a single year.
Yep.
While in Japan, they're going with sanmitsu, which is the three C's, which is, I mean, I get it, but it's also kind of depressing. Anyway, we want to know, what is your word of the year? What have you used the most, heard the most? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187899899. 9 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over, though, to Dr. Surinder Pal Kaur from the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Malaya. Dr. Surin, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome.
Okay, so what would you say is Malaysia's word of the year if you had to choose?
There's a huge choice to go from because, you know, the pandemic has had all kinds of, impact on us. Among some of the major words that we would have to, look at, if you look at the Bahasa Malaysia, I would say the MCO version would be the Malay version, you know, PKP, PKPB, the various versions of it would be the words of the year. But I would also think that we would need to look at a lot of the things that people were using online in social media. Kita Jaga Kita would be one of my favorite choices for Word of the Year because that had a huge connect throughout people all across the country, whether it was in Sabah or whether it was here, whether, even now, we still see a lot of the Kita Jaga Kita coming up in general conversations online.
Right, and what do you think of the OED deciding to forego tying the year to a single word, and conversely, Japan's choice, which is Sanmitsu?
I think the OED is absolutely right. I don't think you can encapsulate 2020 in one year, in one word. 2020 has been a whirlwind, if you want to put it that way, where different cultural, socio-political events have occurred. And, you've had many different things that have occurred in many different ways. And the pandemic itself has developed in so many different ways that has generated the use of different words coming into our normal common usage. So I think the OED is absolutely right not to encapsulate the year in one word. Merriam-Webster, on the other hand, tried to, but they picked the catch-all phrase of pandemic. Merriam-Webster said, let's just go with pandemic. But Japan's choice of Sanmitsu, I would think that this is a very deliberate choice because I think Japan is very concerned about social behavior in which we would want to, practice lots and lots of correct and modified behaviors. So the choice of Sanmitsu is very important. You avoid the three C's: crowded spaces, close contacts, and closed spaces. So I think this is a very, very deliberate choice by the publishing house and also by the people in Japan on their own, because it has been used a lot. And I think they're also still in the process of wanting to make sure that this word stays in the mindsets of people and it doesn't go away. And that's one way of helping to curb transmissions and to make sure that it stays in the public's mind. It's always there.
So if we were to take a step back, right, do mm-hmm. we know what is the criteria that goes into choosing the word of a year, and how have new technologies with the ability to kind of clump things as trending and so on helped to shape them?
Well, how do we know? Basically, I think a lot of lexicographers would look at the frequency of use. How often are these words used? And of course, in the English-speaking world, the frequency of use of certain words will be very different across the world, This is why the OED has a whole section on world Englishes in their report, because they acknowledge that, world Englishes across the world is very diverse. And so in this sense, the choice of words, I think, would be number one, they would go with popularity and frequency count, all right? And number two, the actual impact of the word, the word itself. And this may not be very tangible. This may be, it's become so naturalized to us. We have used it again and again without thinking about it. It's become so naturalized that it's common sense to us. We just use it on a normal day-to-day basis. So those are the two things I think they would look at in terms of deciding whether a word, would be suitable to be considered as a word of the year. In terms of the technology that is used, I think a lot of the times most linguists, lexicographers, or, general linguists dealing with discourse, we tend to use software that pulls data from across the world, media data, social media data, all kinds of data, public policy speeches, all kinds of things. And then they put them together and they run them through a software. And this is what we call the corpus analysis. Corpus is just referring to word data. And, you know, sometimes you can end up with millions and millions of words sent through the corpus analysis, which does it quite quickly. And you see what your top words are. When you delete the main words, you know, the fillers and prepositions and all these things, suddenly you find the nouns, you find the verbs, you find phrases that suddenly make sense. And then you start connecting them to social phenomenon. And then you see the trends as to why these words are up and when they're up. The frequency and technology really, really makes it very obvious. The other thing is Twitter's own trending words are also very useful. Every morning I get up, I look at Twitter and see what's trending in my, you know, part of the world and what's trending in other parts of the world. And then I go and hunt to see why is it that that particular word is trending. And then I say, ah, okay, this is why. And then I decide whether I want to add it to my corpus or not.
And looking back at past trends, you know, we just look at, we did a quick Google search that showed that the word of the year in 2016 was post-truth. 2017, apparently youthquake, and 2018, toxic or gaslighting. Now, you brought up a positive word, right? Kita jaga kita. But do you think that on the flip side, that there's a propensity towards negativity in choosing this words and these words? And why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it has to do with sentiment analysis. When you start looking at big data and you start breaking the data down, and the frequency of the words that are appearing would indicate people's sentiments. And very often, the more frequently words you use words will be related to cultural phenomenon, which very often is negative, you know, perceived as negative, you know, like, you know, in Trump's case, constantly saying fake news, fake news, fake news, and that is trending in one way or another, you know. What happens here is it's not necessarily that they're choosing negative words, but the negative words do make an appearance high up in the charts, and they are the more frequently used words, you know. And I wouldn't say that we would want to look at them as negative as much as we want to look at them as describing or representing the situation that has been, you know, evolving and in time. And very often the situation could be a cause of concern for many, many people.
So
if that makes any sense.
No, it really does, I think, especially because you're right in that the negative connotation, I think, is in part determined by the kind of news that we're exposed to that uses these sorts of phrases.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
On that note, then, how do buzzwords or these words of the year inform our shared experiences? And why do you think they're important to have to help, I don't know, you know, kind of tie us all into this collective experience?
Okay, at the onset, I'd like to make a distinction between word of the year and buzzwords. Buzzwords often carries a very negative connotation to it. Some people really can't stand buzzwords because, you know, they associate it with jargon. Whereas word of the year may have a more neutral connotative value to it, maybe. You know, there may be some negative words, there may be some positive words and things like that. So buzzwords tends to bring in some negativity to it. And in fact, there's an entire, you know, software aspect called Buzzsaw or something like that, if I'm not mistaken, which you send your text through it and it actually cleans it up for buzzwords and gets rid of the buzzwords, you know. Like in business, you've got the word revert and, you know, curate and these words that people really can't, many people can't stand. I can't
synchronize.
So, yeah, at the outset, I would say that, you know, let's not conflate words that are in frequent use with buzzwords, all right? Yeah. Some people will tend to use buzzwords for the sake of using the buzzwords. They can be used, you know, I'm going to adopt it from this domain, I'm going to put it into this domain, I'm going to carry forward using it because, hey, it sounds cool. But in terms of word of the year and how it informs us, I think it's so much part of our lived experience, our lived realities. And 2020 has been a year of such differing lived realities compared to other years, other decades for everybody. So the words that are naturally coming out from these lived realities are very, very important. And they inform our own shared experiences in that sense. So they're coming out of our experiences, but the words that we adopt are also coming from other sources and domains, like the scientific domains and so on and so forth. I mean, some early in the year, nobody would have known what R0 meant, you know, and then suddenly people are like, oh, R must be the value of this, you know, the spreadability of the virus and things like that. And, you know, and then, of course, you go on to, first it was just the pandemic, and you still have the term pandemic, but now you're getting more and more, you know, other types of words, which will include social distancing, which will include, hygiene-related words, which would include medical-related terms, you know, safety-related terms like PPE and things like that. Frontliners, I mean, people hardly ever used that term before, but now everyone is talking about frontliners because there's a sense of respect for the frontliners for being right there and doing those jobs every single day. And I'm talking about janitors, cleaners, nurses, doctors. You know, they do things that a lot of us are not doing because some of us are, you know, huddled safely in our own homes in fear. So, you know, the symptoms confer respect towards groups of people. Certain terms would confer a certain sense of fear in our shared experiences, our shared realities. So That's pretty much it.
And earlier, Dr. Surin, you mentioned how words like fake news have persisted, you know, despite the word of the year changing. Do you expect certain words and phrases from this year to stick around in our vocabulary even after the pandemic?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, the pandemic isn't quite over yet. It won't be over until, I don't know. I mean, now the buzzword, I just used the word myself. The word that is being used frequently is going to be vaccine, and it's going to be Moderna, Pfizer. These are the terms that are going to be appearing again and again in the early half of next year. And then we will see whether it's useful. I mean, whether people are coming up with, you know, are able to take on these vaccines and things like that. So I think the words will evolve. The words will then reflect the new realities that are surrounding the pandemic, as well as social political situations at that point, because you will see that. Right now, fake news is key there because Trump keeps shoving it into everybody's faces. But once, you know, I'm assuming after January 20th, Biden takes over, there would be a little less emphasis on that because maybe there's not so much of space given to that phrase to proliferate in the landscape of the media. So that phrase might slow down, but be confined to certain spaces, certain fringes of the community. So you would have that. Some phrases will go with us. Some phrases will develop further. And I do think that as society develops, and it's such a quick developing society, the situation that we live in, the world we live in, develops and changes really, really quickly. So we will have to have a lot more new words, as well as some words that are coming along with us from now. But I think the pandemic will still be a word we will look at in the next couple of years. Even looking back at it, people will still use the term pandemic, which is why Merriam-Webster went for it.
Dr. Surin, before we let you go, I just wanted to pick up on something you mentioned there about January 20th and you know, outgoing presidents, incoming presidents.
Yes.
How much are the words that we use shaped by people in power, and how often do they actually just surface from the usage of people as a whole? You know, what's that relationship like?
I think it's a very dialogical relationship. We cannot say it's a one-way street, or, you know, it's a dialogical relationship. In many ways, people in power, they constitute certain meanings. They use a particular word, and then, you know, that gets used by everybody around them. But at the same time, words that people have used, they get picked up by the people in power, you know, the people, the powers that be, because they find the impact, possibly the potential of that word is quite important. So in this sense, Trump is a very good example of this, because not only has he put forward his own words like fake news and things like that, he has also taken up a lot of things from people, from the conspiracy, the fringe conspiracy theorists, and taken off things from them, you know, QAnon and things like that. And he has taken phrases from them. If you look at the Malaysian context, Kita Jaga Kita, something that came up from social media, from people. But it was taken up then by the politicians as well. So it's a dialogical relationship, I think. And that's the way language should be. It's a very dialogical relationship. And when we say people in power, I think mainly we are talking about people who have access to speech that is, available to everybody. So the spread of that speech. That's the excess we're looking at. That's the power, not necessarily physical power or governmental power and things like that, but power in the sense that, you know, they've got access for more people to listen to them. That's basically it.
Dr. Sirin, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
You're most welcome. All right. Hope you have a good evening.
You too.
You too. That was Dr. Surinderpal Kaur from the Faculty of Languages and Linguistics at the University of Malaya, speaking to us about the word of the year, or rather the lack thereof, at least from the Oxford English Dictionary. Although, as we mentioned, Sanmitsu, according to one publishing house, is Japan's word of the year. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on this. You can tell us, what have you been hearing, thinking about, looking at? What words have you used most often?
Right. So there are so many sanmitsus. I think I'll read this one out. Boyifulza says, it should either be Dalgona or Biscoff for Malaysia. So I actually haven't tried it before. I'm wondering if you have, Lynn.
Which one?
The Dalgona phenomenon. That's just been kicking off.
So I'm an incredibly boring coffee person who takes my coffee black and plain. So not so much. But I enjoyed everybody's attempts and failures.
Yeah, yes. All those videos were just so fun to watch.
And I think that actually if you looked at specific moments in time, like if you tracked the words according to the month, I'm sure you would have seen a spike for Dalgona or Biscoff in specific moments. I wanted to just say that Lepanda said, word of the year is easily, and this is a word that I'm not going to work out the acronym. You will have to Google it, but it is a military acronym. And Lepanda says it's FUBAR.
That's just so deep.
I mean, it's very 2020.
It is. And a word related to that, Lewis says uncertainty.
Unprecedented. That's, I think, the same sort of vibe. Sevest very simply says, it's definitely lockdown. Mm. And actually, Collins Dictionary did make this their word of the year. So you're not alone, Sevest.
Yep. And we've all felt the effects of that, haven't we? And on the other hand, Lo says, no, I can't eat that. I've been maintaining a healthy diet for the whole year. That's an interesting one.
Good for you. I don't know if that many of us during the various MCOs have been doing that.
I think I just stress ate a lot this year.
Well, let us know what your word of the year is. What words have you used most often, heard most often, or what word sums up 2020 for you so far? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.